Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Today we begin our Bible study in Revelation chapter 18, verse 5. Chapter 18 is about the fall of Babylon the Great. The ancient city of Babylon fell thousands of years ago, never to be rebuilt, never to be inhabited again. So the Babylon that falls in Revelation chapter 18 is a reference to Rome. Rome that ruled the last great Gentile world empire that continues up to the time in one form or another to the return of Messiah. There's both a physical civil government called Babylon, and there's a religious system called Babylon. And that's why Babylon will fall twice in the day of the Lord. When we come to Revelation chapter 18, verse 5, it explains why Babylon gets destroyed in the tribulation period. People have told me many times the tribulation period is about just punishing Jews. No, it's not. It's not about punishing anybody. It's about calling the world to repentance, to salvation by faith through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Messiah, Yeshua. But there is wrath that's poured out on the world that says, no, we will not repent. We will not turn to God by faith. We will not serve God. We will not allow Messiah to come and be king. We read last night about Zechariah 14 and Psalm 2 and other prophecies about the Battle of Armageddon and why it takes place. But here specifically in Revelation 18:5, the Lord tells us why Babylon is destroyed in the tribulation period. It says, verse 5, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. We have a play on words as well as a literal fulfillment. In ancient Babylon, they built the Tower of Babel, whose purpose was what? To reach to the heavens. In verse 5, it tells us the tower never reached to the heavens, but the sins, when you pile them all up, have reached to the heavens. That is, they've come up to God's notice and time for him to react to it. When it says, and God has remembered her iniquities, it means it's time for judgment. Keep your finger here. Turn back to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. We're back at the time of the original Tower of Babel. And by the way, Babel is still the term in the scripture that gets translated Babylon. For some reason, they just didn't want to call it Babel anymore. It's the same word. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Nimrod and his compatriots wanted to replace God. They wanted to build a tower up to the heavens so they could go up and overthrow God. They didn't want God to rule and reign in this world. And that's the same thing that happens in the tribulation period. Look at Psalm 2. In Psalm 2, they tell us what the world's objective is in bringing the Battle of Armageddon against Jerusalem. Verses 2 and 3, just that much. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. His anointed is the Messiah. Saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us, means they will not rule over the world. We will not permit it. We will stop them. And that is the great sin of Babylon, is we will not submit ourselves to the authority of God. So back to Revelation chapter 18, verse 5. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. It means it's time for judgment to fall. So verse 6, the cry is render to her. What's it mean, render to her? Give to her. Pay to her. Pay. The wages of sin is death. The sins have piled up to heaven. It's time for death. Render to her just as she rendered to you. What's that mean to you? What has the kingdom of the false Messiah been doing to every believer they can get their hands on? Putting them to death. So repay her double according to her works. That's because physical babbling gets destroyed and religious babbling gets destroyed. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. So the judgments of God, the wrath of God has been poured out in what we call the bowl judgments. And God says, mix her a double portion. As if the great intense wrath of God was not bad enough. Mix her double. Verse 7 says, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. What do you know about the wealth of the Roman Catholic Church? It is phenomenal, isn't it? It's off the charts. God said, in the same measure that she built up treasures for herself and lived luxuriously, pour out her wrath and sorrow, the torment and sorrow, in that same measure. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, meaning the queen of heaven, and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Let's look back at Ezekiel 28 for a moment. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 2 to 8, for an example where this kind of judgment has been poured out before. Ezekiel 28, 1 says, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what's that word saying? What follows is a quote, saying, son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a God. I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas. Yet you are a man and not a God. Though you set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that can be hidden from you. He's mocking him now. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom and trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations. They shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit. You shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. That's the same judgment that God's going to pour out on Babylon here in the tribulation period.
And midst of the seas would be the nations?
Midst of the Gentile nations, correct.
Which is who they serve.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at Job 4:8. This giving double repayment for the sins is not a new concept. Job 4:8. Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity. What does it mean to plow iniquity?
Sow.
It means to sow it. Yeah, to plow the fields and plant the seeds. And sow trouble, reap the same. That is, as you have done, so shall it come back to you. Called the Haman principle. Or in Latin, lex talionis. And we have 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Just as a reminder that God is not pouring out judgment just to take pleasure in hurting people. God does not take pleasure in hurting people. In verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that is the promise of the Lord returning and establishing the kingdom on earth, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Lord's greatest desire, is that everyone would repent and come to salvation. But verse 10 begins with but, meaning people just won't cooperate. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. It's coming. Back to Revelation 18, verse 8. Therefore, what's therefore mean? Because of this, because she says, I sit as queen. Where was that back in Jeremiah?
44:17.
Jeremiah 44:17. I must have taught this before. Thank you, Rachel. Jeremiah 44, verse 17. Verse 18, actually. I must have misunderstood her. Yeah, a little context is good. Verse 18 begins, but since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. The woman also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without her husband's permission? Who are they referring to as the Queen of Heaven? It's also up in verse 17, but we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, pour out drink offerings. So in all three of these verses, it mentions the Queen of Heaven. Queen of Heaven is talking about Ishtar, Easter, Semiramis, Isis, many names in many cultures. Who does the Catholic Church call the Queen of Heaven? Mary, when they put that crown of deity around her head. They're treating her as if she were these pagan goddesses of old. Boy, they should not do that. Queen of Heaven, the term goes all the way back to Semiramis at the Tower of Babel. And it's just trying to say that the Babylonian mystery religion has continued throughout the world, has permeated through all the different cultures and generations with different names, but the same worship of the sun god and the moon god. What does it mean in Revelation 18:8 that therefore her plagues will come in one day? Yes, the tribulation period. It's in the day of the Lord. Death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire. What's fire a picture of? God's judgment. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. What did God tell us last week? Come out of her, my people. Because great judgment is going to fall, and you don't want to be a partaker in that judgment.
Can I ask, what did you mean again by one day?
One day refers to the tribulation period, which is part of the day of the Lord.
Thank you.
Yep. So God hasn't been pouring out his judgment on her over the past 2,000 years. It's all been building up to the tribulation period when the wrath gets poured out, double mixed for her.
And you know, it says burnt up in one day.
Yeah.
And it just, I had the picture of, you know, like hay and stubble built on the foundation is built on the wrong stuff.
Yeah, like hay and stubble being burned up. Burns quickly. Verse 9 tells us the kings of the earth who committed fornication, referring to idolatry. This false religious system has had sway over the different kingdoms of the earth. What did the Roman Empire become called? The Holy Roman Empire. Because it was all centered in the Catholic Church with the Pope at the top. So verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. So this is referring to the seven kings that remain after the false Messiah takes over, who have benefited and grown rich through the influence of this false religious system, are going to mourn when she's destroyed. Not so much because they'll miss her, but they will miss the wealth that they acquired through her. Verse 10 says, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, meaning they don't want to be part of the destruction. They're mourning over her, but not close enough to go try and help. They're staying their distance going, ooh, I don't want to get judged in that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
We say they lament her, but then we were talking maybe last week, maybe the week before, about at some point the beast is going to want to overthrow the rider. Remember we talked about
right.
that? So at that point, he wouldn't lament her. So does that
not mean him, but the other kings of the earth who grew rich through her. The false Messiah wants to overthrow the woman who rides the beast because he doesn't want anybody to be worshipped but him.
And we can't use that to place it maybe in the first half or the second half before, like...
It's in the second half.
Because when he set up the idol, she was still over him.
Right. Yep. In verse 10, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, not wanting to participate in it, saying, alas, alas, twice because Babylon gets destroyed twice. That great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. That's the second time we've seen that phrase, 1 hour. So we've got to go over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. See if I can explain it a little better. Because I think I still have left some questions in people's minds. Matthew 24, verse 42. The day of the Lord has been described as an hour before. Verse 42 says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. You do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Referring to the day of the Lord as an hour. So back to Revelation 18, verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. In the tribulation period, Babylon has become the center of world commerce. That doesn't mean it is at the moment, but it will become the center of world commerce. And when Babylon or Rome is destroyed, then they're saying, who's going to make us rich now buying and selling our stuff? Who's going to be the hub of commerce? And then in verse 12, it tells us what kind of merchandise they have been shipping through this false religious system and the government behind her. merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind and object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Verse 13, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, houses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. Now stop for a moment. Think of the first four seals that were opened. The white horse was the false Messiah. The red horse was war. The black horse was famine. And it took a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread. Remember that? So who is buying gold, silver, precious stone, silk, scarlet? It's not the common people, is it? Yeah, but hurt not the oil and the wine. The rich are going to be the uber rich, right? Where is all the wealth centered? In Babylon. So Babylon has been buying up the world's treasures, getting richer and richer. And what does the scripture say about where your treasures are? That's where your heart will be also. Verse 14. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. That's the second time it's told us that. And saying, alas, alas, that great city. This tells us a little more about the city. Do I hear somebody and go to meeting land?
Wayne, I was just going to say that the end of 13, where it spoke about the bodies and souls of men, all I could think about is all the details that we're hearing more of day and day concerning the trafficking of children and the abuse of children, and even the connection with some of these that are very elite.
I know. Did you guys hear the latest news this week? In Central Ohio, they broke up a ring of white slavers who are taking part in child sexual games. And at the heart of it was a youth minister. Just breaks your heart.
Wayne, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
In order for this, what appears to be a very powerful religious system to have come to this place, which is, I don't know if it's what we're seeing exactly today, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but is this something that is facilitated by the mark of the beast?
Yes, that's exactly right. You can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. That's how Babylon centers the wealth and commerce in herself, is she controls the mark and who can buy and sell. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. When everything just goes up in smoke, they're probably thinking, oh no, what did we do?
Yeah. And by then they're probably thinking, we were on the wrong horse.
Yeah.
But if they've taken the mark, it's too late.
Yeah.
Once you take the mark, you can't untake it. And people for decades have been burning credit cards and social security cards and things, saying it's the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not something you get by accident. You have to worship the beast to get the mark of the beast. You have to make a choice. Would I rather be rich and powerful, or would I rather be righteous before the Lord? Got to choose.
Can I ask what was the fruit in verse 14?
The riches and the wealth and splendor.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the beast that physically destroys the city? Because we're told he doesn't care about religion or any of that kind of stuff.
Yes, God usually uses earthly things to carry out his destructive prophecies. Like, remember back in Ezekiel, there were angels with inkhorns and weapons going out to destroy, and it was the Babylonian army. Yeah, we're told it's the false Messiah himself who will turn on the religious portion and destroy it.
And that'll be, again, probably after he sets himself up.
Yeah. Yeah, here we're almost at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. We're really late in the tribulation period. But verse 16 helps us identify Babylon a little more. Saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, and scarlet. What religious system arrays themselves in white linen, purple, and scarlet? Yeah. And adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. It's very clear that this is referring to the Roman Catholic Church as it will be in the day of the Lord. You can't say it's as it is now. It's as it will be after the rapture and resurrection. All the believers are gone. Yes, we see a lot of foreshadowing in the current Roman Catholic Church. That's true. Verse 17, for in 1 hour, again, 1 hour, it's just talking about that short period of time in the tribulation period. If 1,000 years is as a day, what's 7 years to the Lord? Like an hour. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. It's all destroyed. Probably in a nuclear holocaust, but time will tell. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance. She was the center of trade. And now the shipmasters that are on the sea en route go, now what? Can't go there. Where do we take the cargo? Who can buy it? Nobody. And they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? In other words, where do we go now? Who can buy from us? Who can make us rich? What do we do? They threw dust on their heads. That's kind of hard to do when you're on a ship, but apparently they bring dust with them. And cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas. We keep saying alas not once, not three times, but twice. Because of the two destructions. Alas, alas, that great city, which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. All the wealth is centered there because that's the mark of the beast system. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. I didn't count how many times it says in 1 hour, but it's over and over again. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Talking about all the slain who are slain for their faith in God are going to rejoice because God has brought vengeance. Do you remember back in Revelation chapter 6? Let's turn back to Revelation 6. There was a cry back then that's being answered now. Verse 10. We'll start in verse 9 for context because that tells us when this happens. When he opened the fifth seal, the fourth seal was pestilence and disease, the chloris. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.